Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Dramasology podcast. In this episode, I am continuing on my watchlist digest, which is something I do just to talk about the dramas that are catching my attention. And in this episode, I am going to cover two specific dramas that I am watching currently because those are the ones that have my attention. And so to start off with, the first drama I am watching is The Impossible Heir. This is Lee Jae-wook's new drama that just aired last week. For those who don't know, the synopsis goes like this. When the illegitimate son of a Korean conglomerate owner partners with his childhood friend, the duo will stop at nothing to seize their place at the top of the societal food chain, right? And so in this, Lee Jae-wook is playing the ambitious childhood friend, An Tae-ho, whereas Lee Jun-young is playing the illegitimate heir, Kang In-ha. We also have a third character, Na Ae-won, played by Aung Soo-ju, and she's here basically as this girl that is both the love interest, kind of, and also this character that also has ambition to leave her shitty, poor, impoverished life behind and kind of work her way into the upper echelons of society. And so she is kind of stuck in this place between our male leads. So first thoughts about this drama. I just want to say I have been looking forward to this drama since early last year because I think they finished filming this early last year and there was like no news since then. I don't know why it took them this long to air this because I thought this would air in 2023 and this would be Lee Jae-wook's drama of 2023 and it just never came out. And so Lee Jae-wook really did not have a drama that he aired or that he starred in 2023, right? He just cameoed in a few dramas, right? And so I've been really, really waiting forward to this because if you know me, you know that I'm a huge Lee Jae-wook fan from Alchemy of Souls. And so for me, this is a long time coming, right? As of the time of this recording, 4 episodes have mistakenly aired. It's a mistake because actually only 2 episodes should have aired by now. And unfortunately, someone in Hulu, right, mistakenly aired episode 3 and 4 without Disney Plus and the schedule. Like, I guess they just didn't look at the schedule or something. So they aired 3 and 4. They took it out immediately, like a day after, but like, yeah, aired and people had saw it and so we could react to it and everything. Someone's getting fired at Hulu because this I'm sure cost them a lot of money to produce, like this drama, and for someone to just release that off schedule, yeah, there was probably a discussion in the head office or something. But yeah, anyways, because 4 episodes had aired, I have actually seen all 4 episodes as of the time of this recording. Like I said, they took it down, episode 3 and 4, they took it down, and so technically episode 3 and 4 will just be airing this week. But yeah, let's just get right into my review. So, I mean, first of all, cast-wise, I mean, Lee Jae-wook, I love him, you know, he's everything, and he's doing a really, really good job in this. Lee Jun-young, I saw him in Brave Citizen as well as Imitation, and so I do know him, and he plays more gray characters, which I like, actually, right? And so I've been kind of keeping an eye on him. I can tell he's going to be really popular one day, right? Aung Soo-ju, I have seen her in Love Struck in the City and Sweet Home Season 2. She was really good in Love Struck in the City. She was only in like 1 episode with Imino, but I really liked her in that. And Sweet Home Season 2, I mean, it was not a huge character, but, you know, she was still okay, I feel like. And so that's really the main 3 cast of this. There are other people in this that are playing like family members of the illegitimate heir and everything, and they're all recognizable faces too, right? And so it's a really well-rounded cast, I would say. But yeah, getting into the story, I am liking it a lot. You have Lee Jae-wook's character, An Tae-ho, who is a very great character. He is ambitious and he wants a lot of things for himself. He is also nonchalant and tough and just like, he is in control of himself and is a very, very smart character. And I like characters like that, right? And so seeing him be kind of like the smartest person in any room is just nice to watch. I don't know if that will continue, but for now, he is, you know, easy to like, at least for me, as that character that just shines as an ambitious, clever person, right? You know, you see a lot of characters like this in dramas that are playing like the secretary of the chaebol or something like that, and they're usually very, very smart. He's playing kind of that kind of character, right? And I just like it because his face just fits it, and Lee Jae-wook can act his pants off. Like, he is a really good actor, and so I've been enjoying his journey so far. We'll see how it continues, because one of the very first things that he shows us in this drama is him like in a room and like blood on his hands and stuff like that. So I guess he's not going to get things easily, right? But yeah, I'm looking forward to how that will go. Ijeon's character Kangina in this for now is not that impressive. I don't know why he's written like this, but one thing I would say is that I expected a lot of bromance in this, and they're not really delivering enough for me. Like, they had a good relationship like in the first two episodes, but the minute they started time jumping into new episodes, I felt like I wasn't seeing that romance. The romance had not built up enough for me. And so by the time Naewon's character comes in, I was like, I guess they are kind of friends, but not really. Like, I can tell that they are not really, really good friends still, right? Like, Anteo is doing things using Kangina's name and stuff like that, and is all for the sake of Kangina, but like, it doesn't give me the vibe of them being good friends. It seems like he's doing it for his own selfish reasons, right? And so they've not really given me that vibe of being like great friends or anything. And so that's one thing that is lacking, and maybe that's just how the story is supposed to go, but I wouldn't call this a bromance in the real sense. And so Kangina's character is illegitimate here in this, and he basically doesn't do anything most of the time, right? And I don't know if I like that, in that like, for some reason I feel like he doesn't deserve Kang Ho and the family, you know, company, because I feel like he's just like his siblings in a way, in that like, he's prone to moments of anger, like his temper is quite bad, right? And his older brother is kind of like that as well, right? And so I am still kind of on the fence on his character, as opposed to like Anteo, that like, he knows what he wants. Like, from the very beginning he approached Kangina, let's do this, and you know, I feel like Anteo just has a better backstory of, you know, he has something he wants to protect, that is like his mom from his like not adopted, I guess his stepdad. I will say that with Anteo, I am unsure of what his true motives are, because I feel like we are not getting everything about him, right? Like, yeah, they're telling us that he's doing it for Kangina and, you know, take over Kango and everything, but I feel like there's more to it. They've just not told us what it is, right? And I feel like Anteo, there's more to him that meets the eye, right? And that's actually something that's keeping me watching, because I do want to know what he's hiding. Right, like, what is his real purpose for working with Kangina in this? Because honestly, I feel like, given how smart he is, there's like a billion companies he could have joined, and he decided to join Kango, right? And there's another thing that really bugs me, in that at the beginning, the first episode, we see that scene where Kangina is watching his elder brother have a party in their like house in like the middle of nowhere, like in this village and stuff like that, right? And Kangina is watching the family have this party and everything, like his brother have this party, you see Anteo just like at the side in the woods watching him, you know. And it's very odd to me that like that transition. And so I imagine that Anteo took agency to go there and see the Kango family, like go and see Kangina, right, in that moment, like as if he wanted to go and see what he was up against or something. So I feel like there's actually a sense of maybe Anteo even moved to that area because of Kangina, right? Like, he knew Kangina would be there and he wanted to actually use him for stuff. And so, you know, I mean, we don't know. That's the thing. Anteo is just so secretive and, you know, we can't tell what he's thinking, right? And so that's kind of where we are at. But yeah, I can't talk too much about this because I still have to cover the other drama. One thing I want to mention, the final thing, is that while Anteo technically has a love line with Naewon, right? So it's Ijewook and Aung Suju and, you know, Ijeong, you know, kind of love triangle kind of thing. I feel like I am more interested in his relationship with Kang Hee-joo, right? That's Kangina's little sister, right? Or little half-sister, because they have a better chemistry, right? There are moments where they look at one another, like the moments in the hospital where, you know, the chairman is unconscious and, you know, she sees him and there's just the way they look at one another, right? Like, once he walks into the room, like, it's just so, there's tension between them. And there's something to be said about somebody that's loved you for 10 years, right? I mean, at first, in the first two episodes, I wasn't feeling her, I will be honest, in the sense that she just seemed so bratty, and I was kind of on the side of Naewon, right? Ong Suju's character was introduced to me first, and so I liked Naewon more at that point. But the minute Naewon got with Kangin, I was like, yeah, that's a done deal, right? And so when I saw this, and knowing that like she has grown up a lot and everything, I am more for them. They have better chemistry, and their scenes, like the scene in the parking lot, for example, was just so well done that I was like, oh, I kind of see it. Like, I just want him to go soft for her. It's never gonna happen, most likely. Like, it's not gonna happen. And if some people's speculation are correct, that is, if like Antil is the chairman's son, then this is a ship that's going to sink. But for now, I am on this ship, right? And I will coast with this ship. And hopefully we get something like Itaewon class. I doubt it, but you never know. So yeah, that is like my first impressions of The Impossible Heir. It's really good, and I'm looking forward to more episodes to come. So moving on quickly to the other drama I am watching at this moment. It's the drama titled Wedding Impossible. So two impossible dramas. But basically, Wedding Impossible is more of a rom-com drama that basically is about this girl, Na Jung, that is an aspiring actress, right? She's talented, but she's not gotten any real work. She has this best friend that has a secret, right? That he's gay, right? And so she's had this best friend for 15 years. And her best friend turns out to be the grandson of a conglomerate family, right? And because he's gay, you know, he doesn't want to ever get married, because you know those conglomerate families, they always do like chaebols, always do arranged marriage, right? And he doesn't want to get married, right? And so he asks Na Jung to play his partner, right? So if he was going to marry any person, he's going to want to be the person that he kind of knows his secret and has kept a secret for so long, right? And so that is what he wants. The problem is he has this little brother that's a pest that like wants him to inherit the company, wants him to marry the, you know, rich girl from the arranged marriage and stuff like that. And this little brother of his, right, will not let things go. Right, he's very antagonistic against Na Jung, and you know, he's just against it. And so really the love line in this is between Na Jung and the little brother, right? And so this drama stars Jeon Jung Soo as Na Jung, Moon Sang Min as Lee Ji Yan, the little brother, and Kim Do Wan as Lee Do Wan. That's a very similar sounding name. But yeah, so these three are the main characters in this. As of the time of this recording, I have watched 4 of the 12 episodes that have aired, right? And so I can say for a fact that I am enjoying this a lot. It's just, again, a comedy. It's nothing to think too deeply about, but I really like it because, first of all, I have to say that the actress playing Na Jung is very easy to watch. She's easily one of the better actresses I've ever seen. And she's not doing much. That's what makes it very interesting, that I've been able to notice how amazing her acting is and how natural it is in like the first 4 episodes. But that's one thing that has drawn me to this. She is very easy to watch. She's very, like, I don't know, just captivating when she's on screen, right? And she's honestly the reason I am watching this, right? So I haven't seen her in anything, but I know that she's won like a big song. Like, she's a, you know, really established actress. And I'm actually going to go check out like more of her work. But yeah, Moon Sang Min that's been Lee Ji Yan, the little brother, is not as impressive to me. Like, I can sometimes tell his acting, which is okay. Again, this is not something serious or like supposed to be innovative, right? So I'm okay with it, because again, Na Jung carries them both, right? With how good she is at acting. But yeah, generally I would say that this drama is very good. The moments that are funny are really, really funny, and the moments that are, you know, supposed to be serious as serious. One of the things I like about this drama is the character of Na Jung herself. She's very well written in that she has her morals, has her values, and she doesn't compromise, right? The scene where she's talking to her best friend of 15 years, Lee Do Wan, that, you know, he's telling her that he wants to marry her, and, you know, he's offering this role that she's going to play, basically as his wife. She's honest with him in that moment, and I really like that scene. she's not easily broken down. The only thing that I think breaks her down is when she's talking to that actress friend of hers that's more popular. And I think that's because that is her one weakness, that she's not a more established actress. And so, like, I like the fact that they also put that in, that, you know, she has that one thing that she isn't so strong against, right? And, you know, that's okay. Everybody is kind of like that. But generally, I just really like her character. She's very easy to watch. I actually don't know where this drama is going to go, because if Na Jung and Lee Ji-yeon fall in love, there's a big problem, given that everybody kind of has already linked Na Jung and the older brother, Lee Do-hwan, together, right? Like, I imagine, like, in the next few episodes, like, you will hear news about their engagement online. Like, it's going to become news that, you know, will be posted online. And so I feel like it's going to be very odd. And how is this going to, like, change to Na Jung and Lee Ji-yeon at some point? Because that has to happen, right? They have to have that happy ending, or else I am going to be pissed, right? I don't just want it to be like, oh, they can't be together now because she was originally with the elder brother. So something has to give in some way. But yeah, that's something I am a little scared about, honestly. But hopefully it will go well. I can tell that this drama is also going to be more serious as time goes on, right? Like, I can tell it's going to build up into moments of seriousness that maybe might take away from kind of that comedic aspect that I am watching for. But I am going to stick through this and see how it goes. One other thing I will mention that I like for now, that we'll see if that changes, is the character of Yoon Chae-won, who is the, I guess, the partner in the arranged marriage. She is the childhood friend of Lee Ji-yeon and Lee Do-hwan, right? And, you know, she's played by Bae Yoon-kyung in this. And one thing I will say about her character is that for now, she's a very good person, right? In that, like, she supports them, like, supports the brothers, you know, will bite back against anybody that talks crap about them and everything. And so for now, I feel really bad for her that she likes Lee Ji-yeon, knowing that he will like Na Jung, right? But I am scared that she's going to change into that, like, cliche second female lead that's just mean to the main lead girl, right? Because if they do that, that's what I expect they will do. But for now, they've not done that. And so I also really like her character. But yeah, generally, I think it's just a good, like, downtime drama to watch. And, you know, I'm looking forward to more episodes. So yeah, that's really it for the two dramas I am watching, The Impossible Heir and Wedding Impossible. So I'm looking forward to more episodes, and hopefully they deliver on all the things I want. We'll see. But yeah, that's it for this episode's Watchlist Digest. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a nice day. Bye.